Reform devotion number 22 of 365. I have seen the benefit of afflictions from the Mission of Sorrow by Gardner Spring. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you.'" Luke chapter 15, verses 16 through 18. Could the religious history of the people of God be narrated in detail, how many of them do you think would attribute their first religious impressions to some sad and solemn call of divine providence? The arrow that first pierced many an adamantine heart would be traced to disappointments they little thought of, to the poverty they dreaded, to reproach and shame, or to the grave of those they loved. God accomplishes his purposes of mercy in his own way. The purpose comprises the means as well as the end. Severed from the means, there is no purpose. Affliction is often essential to the accomplishment of God's gracious design. Multitudes never would have become Christians but for pain and bereavement and losses. And after they became Christians, never would their backsliding have been healed but for the severity of their trials. But for these paternal chastisements, they would have wandered beyond the hope of recovery. God thought of them when they did not think of him, and restored their souls, and led them in passive righteousness for his name's sake. I have seen the benefit of afflictions, and have often wondered at the wisdom and the benevolent and gracious design which ordered and directed them. The giddy have become thoughtful because God smote their idols. The worldling has lost his interest in the things of time because the hand of God has touched him. The man of congenial temperament and social habits and instructive and pleasant converse loses his relish for society and is shrouded in gloom and dumb with silence because his heart and his hopes lie buried in the grave. Nor is this all. His conscience has been disturbed with inward pangs, and while the arrows of the Almighty stuck fast in him and were drinking up his spirit, God has turned his mourning into joy and his sad lamentations into praise. Such is the history of many a thoughtless sinner. Many a heart thus broken has thus been healed. Disciplined and discouraged by tribulation, it has found the God of heaven its refuge and strength, and reposed in him without whom the whole circle of human joys is vanity. Sorrow has driven them from the world to God. It has shown them the embittered streams and led them to the pure fountain. It has shown them their weakness and taught them to take hold of him who gives power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increases strength. And now, instead of sitting alone and keeping silence, their language is, "Come, and let us return unto the Lord, for he is torn, and he will heal us. He is smitten, and he will bind us up. The mourner is then blessed, though he walks in the midst of trouble." The agitated and trembling heart has found a refuge from the storm, a strength to the needy in his distress, a shadow from the heat when the blast of the terrible ones is as the storm against the wall.